single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV. 수요일.
Hello, welcome to Living Life. I hear people talk about how they feel a little bit apart from God. Some people say, oh, Pastor Jay, I feel close to God. What does that mean? I mean, do we really get farther away or closer to God? Of course, it's not physical, right? I mean, we're not talking physically getting closer or farther away from God. I feel like it's mostly emotional and spiritual. I mean, is there such a thing as getting closer to God and farther away from God? Is it a feeling of distance, something that we need to feel? I mean, so let's talk about all of that, because I bet in your walk with Christ, you feel a little distance from that relationship too. And today's text is all about that, really. What happens? It's addressing the question, what happens when you get close to God? Or putting it another way, what do you need to do so that you can get closer to God? Okay? So, of course, we're not talking physically close to God, because God's in us, through us. We live and have our being in Him. But we're talking about relationship here, right? I mean, you can be like this close to somebody, but you can be feeling very distant from that person. So it's same with God. So let's talk about that right after we take a look at the Word of God together.
Isaiah chapter 33, verses 17 through 24. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty and view a land that stretches afar. In your thoughts you will ponder the former terror. What is the chief officer? Where is the one who took the revenue? Where is the officer in charge of the towers? You will see those arrogant people no more, those people of an obscure speech with their strange, incomprehensible tongue. Look upon Zion, the city of our festivals. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful abode, a tent that will not be moved. Its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its ropes broken. There the Lord will be our mighty one. It will be like a place of broad rivers and streams. No galley with oars will ride them. No mighty ship will sail them. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is He who will save us. Your rigging hangs loose. The mast is not held secure. The sail is not spread. Then an abundance of spoils will be divided, and even the lame will carry off plunder. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill, and the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven.
I believe that today's text is all about getting closer and closer to God. It starts verse 17. It says, your eyes will see the king in his beauty. It reminds me of Book of Psalms, when King David talks about how I want to dwell in the house of God. You know, that whole concept. You know, what does that mean? It's about your distance of heart. When you are at the gate of God's house, God's kingdom, you feel close to Him. You know, you want to gaze in His beauty. It says, I love it, how it says, king in His beauty. In other words, God's beauty is something to behold. And if you and I are up close to Him, we can see His beauty. Perhaps you and I are too busy these days to even see God's beauty. That's all around us. Maybe we need to take a moment and gaze at His face. Just like this text is saying, your eyes will see the King in His beauty. Because closeness to God starts there. We need to exalt God and see for who He is. And it goes on to say, it talks about those that you won't see when you get close to God. You see, like when you get close to God, you're getting further away from something. And that's verse 19. You will see those arrogant people no more. See, the enemies of God, or people who are taking you farther away from God, far away from God, you won't see them anymore. You won't see the problems anymore. You see, what happens is, we can focus on what we want to focus, right? Sometimes we focus on God, so we see God's leading in our lives. But when you and I are not reading the Bible, we don't even pray, and we don't go to church and fellowship with people, then what happens is that little by little, we start to focus on things that are very negative in our lives, things that are contrary to God's will. We hang out with people and concepts that are making us ill. And so let's step away, turn around and go to God so that our eyes can gaze at the King in His beauty. And also, we're not going to see these arrogant people anymore. People whose speech is obscure, whose language is strange and incomprehensible. Further you go away from that person or that being or that concept that's contrary to God's word, you hear less of it. You know, it's incomprehensible. These are strangers now. Now, I hope and pray that you will choose to walk away from the wrong things in life so that you can pursue the right things in life. Okay? You can't pursue both at the same time. Verse 20, look on Zion, the city of our festivals. Your eyes will see Jerusalem. Jerusalem here is a place of worship where God's presence is felt. I hope and pray that you and I will orient our lives so that we go closer to the presence of God. Maybe it's the Bible study you need to join. Maybe it's the group, you know, one-on-one discipleship you need to do. Maybe you need to sign up on a regular basis, you know, not too many, but just maybe once a week to a small group, you know, in your church. Maybe you need to start one so that you can engage in a extremely spiritual and positive talk, you know, on a regular basis instead of hanging out with the wrong crowd, you know. You are the average of who you hang out with, you know. I'm not saying don't hang out with anybody who's different than you. Sure, you need to have all kinds of friends, but you cannot have just the people who are in the world and of the world, you know. You need to take time to be in the world but not of the world, and set apart some time so that you can engage in God talk. You can engage in gazing into Jerusalem. You can look at the beauty of God. Now, it says here in verse 21, there the Lord will be our mighty one. It will be like a place of broad rivers and streams. What a peaceful scene, right? That's what happens when you and I choose to walk in the Lord. We do daily reading of the Bible and pray, morning and night. What happens is that your life will begin to look like broad rivers and streams. Well, we need broad rivers and streams to make living, right? Drink water, be refreshed. You cannot, all the major cities in the world, guess what? It started next to a river or ocean for a reason, right? We need to trade and we need to make our living and also draw from the water the strength and well-being. And so you and I, really, we ought to change our ways and get closer and closer to the living God, where the river of life flows. I know you and I can survive just a little bit, you know, walking away from God, but not for long. So turn from your ways and run back to Him today. Now, lastly, I want to highlight verse 24. It says, no one living in Zion will say, I am ill, and the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. At the end of the day, the greatest feeling is the feeling of being forgiven, that you are well, you're not ill anymore. You are not stricken with sin, right? And the burdens of sin, the kind of feeling you get when you know that you're living a horrible life. You and I need to turn from our ways, be repentant, and be forgiven. When you are forgiven, it's obviously the first step and the last step of being close to God. As you get closer and closer and closer to God, you repent more and repent more and repent more, because you realize the amazing beauty of God doesn't match with the ragged clothes that we have on, okay? And you'll be able to see yourself under the light of His beauty. And we begin to feel like, you know what, that's not right either. You know, I used to think that's okay, passable, but that's not acceptable in my life anymore. You and I will be increasingly more lovely and forgiven and clean because we draw near to God. So if we're talking about drawing near to God, it has to come with sense of repentant heart, a genuine heart that says, Lord, I want you more than anything else in my life. Let's do that all the days of our lives. Let me read for you verse 22 to close. It says, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King, It is He who will save us. I love that last line. It is He who will save us. Oftentimes I try to save my own life, you know, when I'm having struggling in the family or financial struggle or ministry that's just giving me a headache these days. Well, what happens is that I try to save myself and I realize I can't every time, but I still trust myself. It's a disease kind of, you know. Maybe you have that too. Let us make decision today as we draw near to Christ. Not only are we gazing at His beauty, let's have His beauty save us. Because who He is a Savior. He's the only one that's answer to our problem today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are the one who saves us. So Lord, we're not ashamed to pray to You about the needs in our lives, the struggle that we're going through. So Father God, be our strength. Be merciful to us. And again, save us from the evil one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world all and stepping in closer.